Is this the start?
I can't wait for the first like AI anime podcast. Like, just if you look at like, especially if
it already exists.
No, I'm talking about like legit AI that's like reading off, especially the internet, especially these last couple of weeks, because there's a lot to talk about. So I don't want to necessarily lollygag too hard to start this, but like, we're going to start with Gear 5, because Gear 5 was not only this really cool moment in real time, it was perfect proof that like nerds deserve nothing. And that we should go back to shaming them all into not coming out into public very often, because
yeah. It was nerds and anti-vaxxers are in the same boat.
I just, and it's like they're right up there with like 40-year-old virgins is a true story, and it's just, it's insane. So I want to say here,
we're really starting this podcast off in an upbeat, not stressed from a commute.
Absolutely, mode. Absolutely not. So. The most legit thing here, and this is the easiest sentence to get away with, Gear 5 was animated really cool. I think considering what, I think to get that intent or that design across, I think they nailed it. And yes, if you're one of those people that are nitpicking that they ran a couple of the sound effects on loops, fine. I don't think I care so much.
You need a couple sound effects, couple animations, couple...
They did, but it's like, it's a hard thing to grab. And I think 1072 is going to be the better example. We'll have an episode almost totally dedicated to Gear 5. Yeah. So I think that's going to be the crazier one. But this one, A, for the anime only watchers, yeah, I understand. Like, none of us liked the Hiyori Orochi scene, but it was important and it did happen that way in the manga. Yes, it was awkward because in the manga, we didn't know Gear 5 was coming. So it was still hype as fuck, and that saved it. The reason why nerds deserve nothing is because the last 2 to 3 months, as this hype train has come for Gear 5, they have totally destroyed the relevance of it. And amongst all the conversations of like, and I mean, like, they were doing everything. They were on Twitter talking about, well, Baryon Mode Naruto got 1.5 million views in its first 5 hours, but Gear 5 Luffy only got 400K. And it's like, nobody knew that shit was coming. Like, nobody knew Baryon's Mode. Now, I understand if you're a manga reader, fine. But it's like,
yeah, I knew Baryon Mode was coming, but I didn't like it. It's also, I don't mean to cut you off. So keep going.
It's please the surprise of some of these things, because some of these are anime spectacles outside of being a manga spectacle, is like, I said, I'm somebody who's like, I have seen moments of the Boruto anime. I have read a total of 10 pages and I might be being gracious on the 10th page. I might have gotten to like 9.5 and just turned my brain off. And I'm not even entertaining people for this whole Super Saiyan argument. They're moments that are 30 years apart and they're irrelevant to each other.
Dude, yeah, I saw some people going, someone was like, this is the Super Saiyan of One Piece. And then someone went, it's the Ultra Instinct. And I went, wow, that guy definitely went, actually.
And it's technically neither, because Oda himself.
It's the Gear 5 of One Piece.
Absolutely. And Oda himself, which I think is a really smart thing to do, and because culturally it just works different over there, there's a lot more respect for your predecessors, a lot more respect for like the industry, and Oda has done it throughout his entire career. He has shown respect to anybody that came before him, has run alongside him, and even gives a lot of love to like the new people. And so he literally was like, I'm not, because that moment is so entrenched in the history of like anime manga in general, he's like, I'm not running into Super Saiyan. So I'm making something that is literally the opposite. Super Saiyan is this like concentration of power supposed to look cool thing. And he's like, what if I just, you know, didn't do that? And I said, I'll still have the power effect because Luffy's got to be strong enough to fight Kaido. But what if I just made it as goofy and unserious as possible? And he nailed it.
Yeah, and that's what the Gear 5 reveal in the manga was. It was like a total tonal shift, because it was the idea that like the Nika fruit is fucking ridiculous. Yeah. And the idea that like the core of the story was behind a kid that was made of rubber. You know, so what is the highest point of that? It's it's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like
absolutely.
One Piece is One Piece. If this is where people, I was laughing because I was one. So this was the first episode of the anime I've watched in years,
Same.
and it's probably a lot of people's first episode of the anime they watched in years.
Oh, they
And
learned that One Piece, the One Piece, the anime, and then
the One
One
Piece
Piece is
anime is hot dog shit, yo.
garbage.
Like, it makes me kind of excited. So I discovered this thing today
Shout out to
called
Monster. Appreciate the sponsor. Keep going.
that's funny. I discovered this one thing today called One Pace, and it's this community online that have taken One Piece and they've trimmed it and basically added pacing to it. If One Piece was an actual anime and not just like a fancy animatic for the manga, there would this wouldn't have been this would have been just like Baryon Mode, which is a monthly manga chapter, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
Not
like,
that it's
I'm also like, I don't wanna rag on the episode because One Piece excels in,
I want to rag on
like,
it.
you wanna rag on it?
I so well
I don't wanna rag on it because it's just the intro to a fight. It's just the intro. Like, imagine if Second Gear was an entire episode. Or sorry, him pumping his legs was an entire episode. That wouldn't be cool.
No,
But like
you're right.
in modern One Piece, it's very much like, okay, I'm going to watch this and then I'm going to wait for no, obviously here's the modern One Piece fan. I'm going to wait for a try hard to take all of these episodes and I super cut them together and then throw it on YouTube, and then I'm going to watch the fight uninterrupted and have a great time.
I sent that hour-long clip right now.
I
They up
did
to
that
an
with
hour.
I did that with Katakuri. I'll tell you, that's a 45-minute fight, and it's real good.
Takes about 73 episodes.
It's the whole it's yeah, it's 100 episodes long. However, when you super trim it down, it's 45 minutes. It's a great time. Highly recommended if you got some spare time.
And I really shouldn't say I'm here to shit on the episode. I'm really here just to shit on the people. And that's because
Because anime fans suck.
They do. And
They always will.
when you add this kind of hype to a moment, it's just impossible. The
Yeah,
reason
it's
why like those
yeah.
other moments work so well, because I do think those shows were like Dragon Ball is clearly an anime dominated show versus the manga. Boruto, I would argue, is more anime dominated in terms of viewership versus people reading the manga. So
Oh, I don't
some
know
of
about that.
that's
The manga didn't have to stop because they ran out of content. The manga stopped because they hit a time skip.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I think there's a lot
Meanwhile,
of people.
the anime stopped like four episodes before the time skip because they ran out of content.
That might be fair. But and then you've got a whole piece, and I don't know how these people exist, but you have people that are entirely like anime only One Piece watchers. And that's a real thing. I don't acknowledge those people
Dude,
because I think they crawl out of the toilet at 3 in the morning.
I don't think
But
they do. I just think they're a little autistic.
I mean, that's a good
And
way to put it.
I don't mean that in a
I mean
negative
that
way
completely
either.
insulting. No, I mean that completely insulting.
I think like they like colors and they like things being repeated and they like to sit on moments longer than a normal person would enjoy that. Again, not shitting on anybody,
I
to each
am.
their own. And if you're listening to this and you're discovering that you might be a little autistic,
No,
talk to your
see,
parents. They don't know either.
side note, to each their own needs to be revised in just in terms of life,
Teach their own does
because
not mean
no, it
bully
needs to be
people on the
revised.
internet to trying to tell me. Don't tell me that One Piece as an anime is better than Jujutsu Kaisen as an anime. Don't tell me that One Piece anime is better than anything MAPPA has ever put out.
That's fair.
Because
And those are.
I can't hear you over the fat dick in your throat.
And to be fair, I will defend this little bit of defense I will give. I wouldn't compare One Piece to the MAPPA can't put out. The same way I think it's unfair when, like, you compare shit from the 80s and 90s to now, is it's an entirely different, like, the shit that comes out now should be clearly superior. And One Piece, we gave credit, is we've seen clips from the last year, and One Piece finally did start putting money into their animation budget, which, when you are the biggest, most highest grossing franchise in that genre, yeah, you should, because you were putting out dog shit for hundreds of episodes. And then, like, they animated Marineford, and they were like, cool, we're gonna make this look real nice. And then they said, well, where's the rest of the budget? Nah, we don't want that. Just give it to the CEOs. And it's just dog shit. From Fishman Island is pretty dog shit. The return to Sabaody, I understand that's not very long, but it's pretty dog shit. Punk Hazard, outside of, I think, legitimately three cutscenes, where they end because they gave Caesar 10 episodes of a fight, is pretty dog shit. Dressrosa has a lot of dog shit.
Like, yeah, it's why I'm, like, really intrigued with this One Piece thing. And it was really interesting because I saw the post about it, and I went into the comments because I love seeing.
Oh, you're a better man than me. I won't go.
I love watching people rag on nerds. And it one comment was, you're not actually watching the show if you only watch the trimmed down episodes. And one of the comments went, I'm sorry I didn't spend 69,000 hours to get the exact same story. I'm sorry I didn't watch Luffy almost lose to Caesar in round two when he won shots him in the manga. Forgive me.
It's so insane.
I'll go to confessional and talk to my priest about it.
Amen. The teach their own. There's like people like, oh, well, you know, do what you want to do, just don't hurt people. Like, nah, shit has consequences. You watch One Piece anime uninterrupted, there's consequences. You a little different in the head.
It's like the people that watched every episode of Pokemon. You know, it's like this 2,000 episodes with, like, you know, that being said, Leon versus Ash, it's a good fight.
No, Leon, you could have moments.
Ash versus that whole tournament at the end, I would say is worth a watch. That whole champions tournament, just watch it. It's a good time.
No, there's moments, and there's stretches of episodes, even of One Piece, that are really well done for the later part. I think the beginning of One Piece is well done, and I actually like when because One Piece early on, they dive more into the slice of life moments and they expand on those a little bit, which I actually thought was the catch of early One Piece in the anime.
I think so too. I think that's what, honestly, I think that's what made One Piece One Piece in a way. Yeah. It's that the goofy pirates on a boat fucking around with like trying to run away from cops and like fucking with cops and like.
Yeah,
it's why I'm like, One Piece would be like, I was kind of going through their thing and they cut out G5 and they cut out like all the filler. That's and stuff. And I'm like, I don't think G5 should ever get cut out. I think that should be a treat for anime watchers, because there's something really funny. And I mean it, they're funny in the terms of like hilarious of like, we just escaped God. We're floating on an octopus balloon out of the sky, and we land in a military base. I think that's hilarious.
Those three sentences, and I want that on my tombstone. Okay. We just escaped God. We are floating down an octopus balloon and landed in a military base, and it's complete sense. And this is the greatest selling, one of the greatest selling, the greatest selling comic of all time already, I believe. And it's like the fourth or fifth highest selling book ever. And it's like, that is a completely legitimate statement that makes total sense.
Yeah, because there is something special about One Piece filler, like some early One Piece filler, I will say. Like
the Dragon Island was dog shit, but I agree with you, G5 is really cool. The Dragon Island,
are you talking about the one in East Blue?
The little girl and the big ass green dragon, old
hear
dragon.
Me out. Hear me out. It's the first time, because Luffy communicates with this thing, right? And he drops the line. I think it's the first time they go, oh, you shouldn't be able to listen to me. You must have the voice of all things, or there, you could must hear be able to hear the voice of all things. And it's a little fucking, I think it's fine. I also think it's kind
of, give it is it's better than Foxy, and Foxy's actually canon. So that's the only kind of argument I got for it, because Foxy is unbearable.
That's right. I'm cool with it. Now there's some anime, like the whole like heat fruit guy. I thought that was kind of boring.
Which one?
It was after Ainz. It was after they left Water 7. So in between Water 7 Thriller Bark.
Okay, yeah, that's the heat, because I didn't know if you're talking about the Smelt man, because there's about maybe five reject aces, but Smelt's after Dressrosa, because that
no, was not already him. Butchered no, no, no. enough. No, like even the Foxy stuff in the anime, I think works because it's goofy. Even right down to like the fact that they go, oh my god, we have to do another thing of filler. What if Foxy just tricks Luffy into like another Davy back fight? And I think that's so funny from an anime perspective, and reading it in a manga like that would have been a nightmare. But like Foxy just going double or nothing, and then Luffy going, yeah, sure, is so funny to me. And it goes right back down to that slice of life feel that the early parts of the show had.
The what do you call it?
But the pacing, it's why I'm intrigued, because I think like I really like the idea that they're more childish in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the time skip, it's like, okay, we're moving towards the end game here. You know, they've grown up, they've done their thing, they're more adult. So it turns into kind of more adult. And that pacing is lost in the anime. It's why I was like, I would totally start with Fishman Island if I was doing this one pace thing after going through the whole everything. Because Marine Ford changes the tone of everything. Ace dies. Ace is the first death in that show.
Don't think there's a slight... So I only argue this because I think this is true in the manga more than the anime. I've always thought the first real tone shift in the manga is post-Aokiji. Because it's the first time Luffy is just... He's just outright screwed.
It's a different type of tone shift. So I'm talking more in line of like... Yeah, Luffy loses to Aokiji, but he's still a kid. He didn't die. Nobody died. Everyone was saved at the end of that. Like, I think the tone shift changes. There is a tone shift with Water 7. You know, Luffy loses to Aokiji. They get to Water 7. This crew splits apart. The boat's falling apart. Like, the crew is basically ready to, like, Usopp dips, Robin dips. No, everybody's not sure what the future of this crew is going to be. And, you know, Luffy is not... I would say Luffy is not serious enough in that moment to keep the crew together and for the longer haul. You know, I think he... And so he goes through the whole Ainz Lobby stuff, gets Robin back, you know, keeps the crew together for the most part. And that's why Zoro has to tell Luffy, hey, Usopp, you can't just let Usopp come back, because there has to be consequences. He has to grow.
Yeah.
He has to be a subordinate. He's not acting like a subordinate. And so that's a different tone shift. I'm talking more in lines of like, Luffy fails.
No, there's definitely
not just fails, but like his brother dies, right? And yeah, his crew's gone, and everybody's gone, and he's like, he comes out, he goes, okay, 2 years is going to pass. He's going to grow up a bit. And then he does. Everyone does. Mm-hmm. Everybody grows up. And I think it's apparent in Punk Hazard, because Luffy's goofing off at Punk Hazard and Zoro has to tell him, hey, this is the new world. We have to be serious. We can't dick around. Like, you can't lose to people like Caesar.
No, that was
you know what I mean? Like,
I think the this is actually kind of a perfect segue, is the yes, I think the first tone shift, while it's not obviously as noticeable as the one here referencing, is post Aokiji. The second one is when Luffy goes on the first real losing streak of his life, which is obviously what happened in Sabaody. There's even why, and a lot of people I've seen people criticize it, like at Amazon Lily, that he has like an overreaction to the sisters, but it's like, your boy just lost his whole crew and felt like he couldn't save anyone. And it's the first time he like breaks down. So this is now him saving the sisters from getting destroyed. Like, it's like
that's saving the Hancock that one sisters. Girl. No,
saving the girls. I'm sorry, not the sisters. You're right.
Saving the girl that gets turned to stone, who like helped him out.
Correct.
It goes back to like, you give Luffy a lunch and then he'll solve systemic racism in your country. Like,
you're not wrong.
Give him a fucking McDonald's cheeseburger and he'll solve every government problem.
Yeah, that shit was funny. I think Jake sent it. It was like the Straw Hats after finding out an island existed 2 days ago and then overthrowing its government.
Yeah.
They just come through, walk in, and like dance out. Like, yeah, so good thing we solved that. Like, Doflamingo was here. And then 48 hours later, he wasn't. And that's how you found out about Dressrosa. People that had lived there for 40 years, they just thought, you know, that never existed.
Yeah, but, right. Oh my God. I had a father. Yeah, it's not 48 hours, by the way. It's the Straw Hats show up. Doflamingo goes down in like an afternoon. That arc starts at like 8 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock in the morning, and then ends at like noon.
No, Luffy sleeps for 3 days. They were there for four days.
Yeah. They were on the island for like 4 days, but the meat and potatoes was like 4 or 5 hours in a 2.5 year arc.
Well, how else are you supposed to overthrow a government? You need more than 4 or 5 hours to do shit.
You're right. My mistake.
So then it's like, and I think also what Aokiji did is, I think obviously Kizer was a big follow-up, because it was like, fuck, dude, everybody that's got this title is just kicking my ass. And I think Luffy knew like there was strong people, because the first person he shows legit respect to is Garp. He just like, Garp shows up and he's like, yeah, no, we can't beat him. Like, my grandpa's too strong. And now to find out, it's like, fuck, Aokiji kicked my ass. I know grandpa can kick my ass. This other dude's literally kicking everyone's ass, literally and figuratively. And then he gets to Marineford and it's just like, okay, everybody is kicking my ass. Like, I can beat the basic ass soldiers, and literally know anybody worth a shit now is literally better than me. Like the Whitebeard captains, Whitebeard himself, obviously the Admiral Sengoku, like he was the first time in his life, he, you know, at the ripe age of 17, you know, it was the first time he was like, fuck, dude, there's some really big people out in this world. And going through all of that, and then obviously failing at it to the extent he did, is then you get the very drastic tone shift, which is why this upcoming fight has to happen. And I will die on the sword of, I don't want Luffy versus Kizaru. I 1000%, and I don't think I'm going to get it, but I 1000% want Zoro versus Kizaru, because I just think the thematics of Zoro being the one that was stepped on and him getting to now come back and clash with him. Not saying this has to be the quote unquote final battle, because I don't think it is, but I do think it would be kind of cool if the traumatic event that took place was the Straw Hats took out an Admiral. Just saying. kidnap Vegapunk, take out an admiral. It's a pretty good fucking talk about found out existed 24 hours later, walk out like, yo, we did that. Bye, guys. Because nobody else is terrifying here, by the way. And that's what I loved about this last chapter. And I know I understand.
I saw a bunch of vice admirals that were going to get beat by Usopp.
That's literally, I'm like, nobody in this entire, and the narrator, God bless him, and he's done a wonderful job. But he's like, and the Navy brought 300,000 soldiers, 10 battleships, 9 vice admirals. And it's like, okay, where am I supposed to be? Oh, and Kizaru's here. Oh, okay, cool. I guess that is literally our threat.
Kizaru and Saturn are here.
Yeah, it's like 99.9% of the manpower is in one man.
I definitely I was counting these vice admirals and I was like, all right, Jinbei's gonna fight that one. Usopp's gonna fight that one. Like, I was like, there's 8 vice admirals.
I think there's only one interesting thing about all the vice admirals. And that is, and this wasn't my original idea. This is, I saw a Reddit comment on this, is that the girl, I forget her name, but on that top row, third from the one next to the oldest vice admiral we know.
Yeah.
There's an... And this, like I said, this is my idea, and I'm not sure how deep this will go. She's the most protected vice admiral because Sanji won't hit a girl, and she will give Nami Bellamy flashbacks. And that's the only interesting thing about her is Nami's never had to deal with a female Marine, and because she was raised by one, there is still that level of like, same way Luffy really didn't want to fight Garp. Because that's still his grandfather fuck sides. Like, to Nami, that is still somebody. Like, Sanji obviously won't hit her. I also don't think there's a need for any of the big three. I'm excluding Luffy now. He's his own tier. But yeah. I don't think any of the big three need to fight any of these vice admirals. I think they clock all of them. And I'm talking about, like, 1-on-8 style. I think none of these people are impressive.
But we don't know anything about any of these people.
I don't think any of these people are impressive. And I don't think they're supposed to be. And I think that was kind of the point Oda wanted to make is, and I understand I'm starting at the end of the chapter, but because we're...
Well, why not? You should. Yeah.
A lot of people complained about, oh my gosh, the Seraphim fights went off screen. And it's like, yeah, because everything emperors have done in this story have been off screen because they are the unchallenged, unquestioned, strongest people in the fucking story. And unless they clash with each other, it's not a question of what happened. You just know they won. So I'm not upset. And I love this.
Yeah. Does it I was like, this doesn't take away from anything.
No, this has made the Straw Hats. It's like, yes, this is who they are in the world now. By the way, I love, I shit on the anime early, but let me give some props. The greatest contributor to Kizaru's character is the Japanese voice actor. Because the second he said, huh? My voice immediately just, my head immediately went to, ooh. And I'm like, that's the most character Kizaru has. Because your boy is just a soldier. He don't give a fuck. He has no interest in, like, your boy is just doing his job. He's just very proficient at doing his job. Although I don't know if that, what the hell, I think that what the hell is supposed to be his thought bubble too. But that seemed weird for him to say personally. But there's like little marks on the Straw Hats. Like you can see Zoro's got like a bandage on his face. Jinbei's got like, there's clearly like, yo, they did fight, but that's what Emperor crews do. They fight you for about 5 minutes and then you realize, holy shit, we are overwhelmed because fire kicking robot, second strongest, third strongest swordsman in the world, imaginary boy. Like you just start running into.
So I got a question for you. What do you think Robin's doing right now?
I'll try and find a Poneglyph. Trying to find Vega, looking at Vegapunk. Robin never wants to be with the, like, she loves the crew, like that's her family. But the second she thinks there's something interesting to find, she don't give a fuck. She is gone, and she don't. And that's her role. She's not a primary fighter anymore. Like, as strong, and she's strong enough to defend herself, so that's why she feels comfortable going off. But she don't got to be here. if shit pops off, she ain't the first person going to fight. She ain't the second person going to fight. At this point, she's probably fifth or sixth on the list. Like, Frankie is probably jumping in the fight before Robin does.
I would hope
and
so.
And there's an argument they're probably on the same power level.
I know. I want to see whatever. I have a feeling Frankie's gotten some upgrades.
Oh, I think 1,000%.
Because or he gets upgrades in this arc. Like, we get a power up for Frankie. Like, maybe Seraphim tech gets put in him. Or even, like, some green blood something. And so he's able to, like, use a devil fruit. Vegapunk wasn't able to do it with Logia.
Yeah, it's his only. It's weird because for everything he's. It's weird, and this chapter is kind of like the perfect example. It's Vegapunk's studies, I don't think, are honest because he claims he couldn't replicate Logia's fruits when he came to the Seraphim, but it's the first power we ever saw him put in a pacifista because it came from Kizaru.
Yeah. Which
now,
like, it might mean like. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I don't think your boy is honest about he can't actually copy a Logia's power and put it in a Seraphim. I think he just understood that's a little too much to give him when I've already given them 1,000 Bartholomew Kumas who shoot light.
So do you think we're going to get Luffy back in Dressrosa is fully prepared to give the Marimara no Mi to Frankie? Like, that is something that happens in Dressrosa. He's like, Frankie, why don't you do it? Why don't you eat it? I'd be cool with you eating it. And Frankie's like, I kind of like swimming. So what if some green blood, he gets an upgrade or something with, like, a little bit of the Marimara no Mi powers. And then it's like an upgrade to Frankie Fire.
Could be.
Right?
I want to be mad at it. I do also want to say this is, and Oda doesn't get, I think, and Oda gets a lot of credit, so I might just be dick eating here.
But yeah.
I don't think there's enough credit to the common person who read this. And I stand by my comment. If I think an actual fight, I think Kizaru is the only person of consequence in this entire fight. I'm excluding Saturn because he's probably strong enough to fight, but we just don't know. And the five elders are the literal last people to have to fight if need be. Like, he'll let everybody else die, including Kizaru, before he lifts a fucking finger, is my feeling on it. But that's why this is a siege, not a battle. And it's shown because there's two panels specifically. Kizaru is eating and these soldiers are eating. This is not meant to be this is not a war. This is not Marineford pull up, let's go all out. This is, we are going to surround them and we are going to wait until they have to come out because they won't be strong enough to fight anymore because they will not have the food or the resources to outlast us. Like, this is a legitimate Navy siege. This is not because otherwise these numbers don't work. Because even with Kizaru there, I think the Straw Hats are in a position where they clear this entire armada, or whatever the fuck we want to call this. I don't think there's anybody, like I said, I think the 8 Vice Admirals, like, and I know this is simplifying it, I legit think, exclude Sanji because he won't hit a woman, Zoro could take on all 8 Vice Admirals. And I don't think that even takes him out.
I don't think it's going to be a siege. I think, like, it looks like they're just eating before a battle, right? So, like, the island's surrounded. The Straw Hats know they're surrounded. And they're all getting up to full health. And they're all getting, like, I think it's to show that, like, okay, we're getting ready for this battle. And, like, okay, we were running around on Egghead and we had to deal with these robots and they were really fucking annoying, but we figured it out. Yeah, that's kind of where my brain is, where it's like, the shit's popping off. Like, we'll get boots on the ground whenever the next chapter drops. And
I don't think they want to fuck with it. Because even Kizaru talks about, like, we'd rather, and it's to their benefit to stall them out, because everything they break or any damage is all at the Navy's loss. They're losing Vegapunk, which they've already agreed that, like, hey, we're going to have to take this, which is a huge loss in its own right. We're going to lose Egghead. That's another huge loss. We're going to lose the Mechanical Beast, most likely, especially if the right Kizaru's going. We're going to lose soldiers. We're going to, like, everything here besides the Sunny, it's all fucking the Navy up. And so I don't think they want to have a full-on war. Let me phrase it this way. I don't even think one admiral can engage in war with an emperor. I think that is why even Green Bull had, and I understand he was by himself, he didn't have a whole lot of backup. But I think even if Green Bull had a fleet of soldiers and a battleship, I don't think he would have engaged any single emperor. I think the emperors are literally like, you need two or three admirals before you even make a stand against them. So yeah, I don't think Kizaru is here to actually fight them. He is just here to, A, they want Vegapunk, and they don't want Vegapunk to be able to leave. But this is a, we want to stall them out kind of thing. I also hope Saturn gets blown up, but that's some Ohara irony, because nobody knows what ship he's on. And if you try to pull a Kainu Jr. and you tell him blow up the ship with potentially the Celestial Dragon on it,
Yeah. I think, like, I don't know. If they, I'm kind of, I don't know. I feel like I don't know how it'll play out. I still think the destruction of the dome and the hard drive with Vegapunk's brain is the goal. I think the destruction of all the satellites and Vegapunk is the goal. And the only thing in the way is Luffy. So they could always, and they don't always, like, the Navy doesn't play fair either. Like, Lucci was definitely like, no, the goal is to get Robin across the bridge, so I'm not going to stop and fight. Like, the goal is Robin. So we're going to keep moving. And then he was like, actually, I want to fight. Right? But Spandam was very much like, no, the goal is Robin. We're going to get her across the bridge. And then the Straw Hats lose. And so I think, like, that's kind of how I see this playing. I think it's if they can take out Luffy and get the fruit, they'll do it. But I think realistically, the goal is Vegapunk and Luffy's fruit, which is why Saturn's here, because Saturn wants that fruit. He wants that Niga power. So,
to a sidebar, but it kind of goes with the chapter. So that little panel where it's like a young Kizaru, Sentomaru, and Vegapunk.
Yeah.
Oda did an SBS last week, and he gave Sentomaru's backstory, which is 1,000% hilarious, because you can tell your boy is getting towards the end, and people are just getting... So Sentomaru was from a village where they had a bear problem, and your boy just went out and fought bears at a really young age. And okay. Vegapunk pulled up to the village where he was at, and, like, the villagers... Because the villagers would literally just get attacked by bears. Like, think of... What's the spirit from Avatar? Where it's like episode 6.
Yeah,
literally, bears just came through and fucked the village up. But Sentomaru was like, as One Piece does, he was like 6 or 7 fighting bears. That's also where he learned to get a broadaxe, because he would literally smack the fucking bear with a broadaxe, because that's what you do as a 6-year-old in One Piece.
Hell yeah. And we're not going to pretend that Garp didn't get strong by punching battleships.
Hey, man, it's what you got to do.
You do, like, what you do.
And so that was Sentomaru's backstory for everybody that was really, you know, interested in that. There was also in that, he revealed, and this is to show that we are Westerners and nothing more than common scum. He gave us Green Bull and Fujitora, he gave official names for their form of justice. And Fujitora's was humane justice, which makes sense. It's like he's, you know, he pretty much just wants to do the right thing, right?
Yeah.
Green Bull, who I had no idea, Green Bull is so in depth as a character for the shit that's literally never available if you're not literally from Japan. Oh, take a guess, Matt. What do you think Green Bull's justice is?
Racial.
Suicidal. His tattoos literally say double suicide on in Shinjuku, and I'm probably missaying that.
Okay.
He is a, and Oda looked at the guy after asking, because if you read, if you speak Japanese or read Japanese, the tattoo would be more prevalent and would, you know, spark versus Weisin, and we're just like, okay, your boy got a tattoo, you know,
it's
got
signs
on that. But his tattoo literally says double suicide at Shinjuku. And Oda looks at the guy and goes, he must have a pretty cool backstory, don't he? And the guy's like, yeah, you want to talk about it? No. So your boy is suicidal.
We'll get a backstory on Green Bull is what I'm hearing.
1,000%. The only thing he confirmed is that, yes, the reason he don't eat is because he's a fucking plant. So your boy photosynthesizes. So
yeah, no shit.
So Oda's just like, I'm not going to give you that in a chapter. Just know, like, yeah, your boy, because the guy asks, he's like, can I get anything? He's like, he doesn't eat because he's a tree. Thanks, Oda. Appreciate you.
Yeah. in a world where there's nothing but islands and oceans and sunlight, he's a fucking tree. Do the math.
Pretty effective. So we have humane justice. So, like, we have absolute at the top. Humane, suicidal, and I forget the actual name for Kizaru's, but Kizaru's just a bot. Kizaru does not care about right, wrong, and different. You just hand your boy some orders, and he's like, okay,
I forget, because you got lazy with PG too.
Yeah. I know Oda's already said it, but it was a while ago, obviously. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head, but your boy is just, he is what he is, which is,
as he unclear says, justice.
Yeah, because it's, he don't know if, like he says in this, it ain't my fault that your boy's doing what he's doing. I'm just a cog. They told me go shoot this motherfucker, I'm gonna go shoot the motherfucker. Like,
yeah, unquestioning.
It also shows, which is terrifying, Kizaru had his fruit far before he became an admiral.
Yeah, he's a kid, it looks like. Yeah. He looks like maybe a teenager in
the flashback panel.
I mean, that it's so small, it's hard to tell. He could be the same age as Aokiji when he meets Garp.
That's what I'm going to assume, that only because they're so close to each other, that feels like an Oda-esque thing to do, is that those two. But it's like, imagine, and I think Aokiji's got his power then too when he's training with Garp. Imagine being in that Navy training room, and it's like, guys, I wonder who's going to become the admiral. I don't know. What about the 10-foot fucking giant made of light? I think he's got a good shot. What about the 10-foot fucking giant made of ice? Yeah, probably. What about the angry asshole who's emitting magma from his head? He's also 10 feet tall? Okay, I don't think I'm going to try very hard. There is no Kobe of that generation who's like, I could just work hard and become an admiral. No, the three people who are clearly overpowered and bigger than everybody are definitively going to be admirals. Everybody else, just be fodder, because that's all the Navy is. The Navy is Team Rocket, except instead of Giovanni, they got Red. And Red's just sitting there at the end game, and it's like, yeah, cool, you just killed about 1,000 Raticates. Here's a level 88 Dragonite. Go for it. It's like,
okay. Have fun. Yeah. So you're saying you don't want to see Luffy fight Kizaru?
I not yet. I know there's something there too. I'm a Zoro fanboy, so it's like, I want to see Zoro get at least like some revenge for it, because you have to imagine he's still kind of pissed about it. Getting stepped on is usually not something that most people enjoy.
That's true. Yeah. Zoro technically lost to Kizaru. That whole crew technically lost.
The whole crew lost. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, but that's why that power concept of like, and that's why people are listening probably think I'm nuts when I'm saying one of the big three could take out the 8 vice admirals. One of the big three is essentially pre-time skip Kizaru, or are they are either admiral level or like a pussy hair below it. And so
almost like Usopp took out an admiral at Ayn's lobby. He like shot him in the head.
The vice admirals.
That's what I'm saying. Vice admiral, yeah.
And so it's like, I mean, he did shoot
Kizaru. He shot Kizaru in the head multiple times, and Kizaru kind of shrugged it off.
And so that's where the power scale is, where it's like these guys are so strong that like the crew pre-time skip, like right before it, was probably essentially 7 to 8 vice admirals. Luffy was probably worth 2 to 3, Zoro was probably worth 1 to 2, Sanji worth 1 to 2, Robin was probably worth 1. Like, so getting one of these guys to now fight off 8 VAs, who the only one that's weird to me, I said the combat the girl, but we only got one returning vice admiral, and I never remember this fool's name, but he's the top left or second one top row. He's the only returning one, and it's like, my dude, did you get like passed up? Did eight legs and fucking, I forget the other one who we got, like who just the last VA standing, and they were like, yeah, I guess we'll send him. Like, he's the only one that didn't improve post time skip.
I thought we got the multiple double chin one before.
If we have, I have never paid attention to this motherfucker before, because I saw that and bursted out laughing. This was
really
this was. He looks like he looks like he's out of a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, but I thought he was at Marineford. But I could be wrong.
Technically he could have been. I for vice admirals at Marineford, the only ones that are noteworthy are your boy on the top, the boy on the who's the returning one, Spider Arms, the Giant Squad, I think are all VAs.
We've gotten the woman before because she's in charge of G14.
We got her four chapters ago.
Yeah.
She's still essentially new, but we did just see her, with G14. But like, she's still a part of this arc. She's new in terms of that.
Doberman's the one that we've seen before.
Good old.
He's one of the five.
Forget his name.
He's one of the five vice admirals who led the Buster Call against Ayn's lobby.
Oh yeah, he shoots somebody. That's why he's memorable. Because he's they try to play him off as if he is like Akainu 2.0, like he's the Akainu of this raid or this Buster Call. Because one of the guys go, I don't know how I feel about this. And he goes, okay, I know how I feel. And he takes out a gun and shoots him in the head. And then I'm like, well, in the manga, he gets shot in the head. In the anime, he just gets shot. And just
falls.
Because the anime doesn't want to be, you know, violent.
We don't want to kill everybody.
Yeah, Lord, I know, especially in this show. Imagine killing a third person. But no, we got T-Bone. T-Bone's gone, kind of, maybe.
Interesting. He was, according to the wiki, he was the guy who basically gave Lucci's backstory.
Yeah.
And was like, there is no need to assist as long as Lucci is around. Which means Lucci is probably going to fight this fool.
Could be.
That Lucci, like... Lucci might fight this guy.
And I think... it's not as clear now, but I think that is like early foreshadowing on like the disconnect between like Cypherpol's not a regular government organization. SWORD's not a regular government organization. So even though they're all theoretically trying to do the same thing, like the vice admirals don't have to give a fuck about. He knew Lucci was strong and could probably handle it, and no one was really aware of Luffy yet, what he was going to become. But
yeah,
it's also like, why the fuck would I get involved with Cypherpol business? I'm just going to keep in the worst executed Buster Call of all time, instead of aiming at the pirates, I'll just keep burning down our buildings, because why not? And then not even do a good job of that, because we're going to let the two giants and an entire civilization of people just live, because, you know, burn it to the ground, except when you don't.
Don't worry, there is a non-canon vice admiral.
Yeah, named, the Sickle Fruit.
Named Balzac.
I wish I was mature. Oh, fuck.
Fucking Balzac. Was the Sickle a vice admiral?
It's so long ago. He might have been just a captain, because I know we got three or four captains very early on, because it was Morgan was a captain, the guy Baradier was a captain, and I think
I don't even remember him being a Marine, but yeah,
the Sigil, he was definitely a Marine. He was the first. He was the first body caught, because he was wearing a suit, and that's the only way you can really tell.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, because these fuckers fight in full blown suits, which is, I understand, a made up world, but still impressive. Like, Kizaru's a monster, and Kizaru is in a full blown suit and some sneakers and a cape, because you just can't look cool without the cape.
I'm trying to find this fucker.
Doberman?
No, I found Doberman. I'm looking for
the sickle fruit?
Sickle fruit. Is it this guy?
Let me see.
No, it's not this guy.
Sickle.
This is the intriguing part of the podcast.
Absolutely. The sickle man. He's the first body. How do you not be remembered as the Eric? Wait, was he not? Slicing air.
Wow, they really want to forget about the sickle
dude,
man.
Dude, holy shit, is he at one line? They literally say, the Kamakama no Mi is an anime-only paramecia that gives the user long, sharp nails to create slicing air blades. It was eaten by Eric.
That's oh. Where is Eric?
No. Holy shit. What the fuck?
I'm in the non-canon category and I'm looking for Eric.
They oh, that's hilarious. So apparently, and I didn't remember this, is that because it's called the Kamakama fruit in Japanese, the Straw Hats take it as, oh, he's an Okama. So they literally call him a cross-dresser, which pisses him off. So if you watch this arc in English, it's apparently really confusing when he's like, I have the sickle fruit. And Nami looks at him and goes, so you're a cross-dresser?
That's so fucking funny, dude.
Holy shit. All right, okay, he's not a part of the Navy. He's Eric the Weasel.
Oh, okay.
This is the first anime-only devil fruit eaten by an antagonist. Eric doesn't have a very big Wikipedia page.
So he isn't Marine.
He's not a Marine. I thought he was, because he's wearing a... You know, they don't really clarify here. They just call him Eric the Weasel.
Eric is a very selfish man.
Oh, sorry, he's got a second sentence. Luffy was able to withstand Eric's attacks with ease.
Yeah, he's pretty weak. Did he have a bounty? No? Who? Oh, he's a mercenary.
Okay. Oh, of course.
And then they're like, status alive. We could just say he's dead. I don't think anyone's coming back for Eric.
But then we could get the sickle fruit reused, because then it'll regrow somewhere and someone else could have that amazing power.
Wow.
You wouldn't want the sickle fruit?
Better than jackets.
That's debatable. The jacket might have a practical use.
All right. That's enough. That's enough about Eric.
Oh, shit. What else had in this chat that I thought was interesting?
This is what I found interesting. The hole left where Lelouchia
did you also find the Enies Lobby theories?
No, I mean, yeah, but also like my brain kind of went there too, but more importantly, what's at the bottom of that hole?
So
what got woken up?
I don't necessarily think something got woken up. I think there's I saw two theories. They both are kind of funny slash I could see being taken kind of seriously. And someone said, Lelouch is not destroyed. It literally got shot to the bottom of the floor, bottom of the world. It's like, it's sitting, okay. And that's why the water can stay shooting down, because there is still an island there. It just got blasted all the way down. Am I gonna say yes or no on that one? Yeah, was it kind of goofy enough where I was like, it feels, because Oda's just a goofy writer, and so it kind of feels like him a little bit, but I it's hard because it looks like flashing lights, and so it looks like you just got fucking vaporized.
Yeah, I figured it, something about, what's it called, the Hellfire or whatever weapon was used, created this hole in the ground, hole in the ocean, which is interesting.
I figured
what got woken up, you know?
I think, because are you talking about like woken up in terms of like that, how the world's reacting?
Well, because according to Viz, there's no trace of the landing, or just an enormous hole in the sea. Any further, the earthquake caused the worldwide sea level to rise about 1 meter. And this was days after the earthquake happened. Grand Line, the epicenter was impossible to pinpoint, making it the most anomalous seismic event. Perhaps it was unrelated, but the earthquake happened just 6 days after the vanishing of the Kingdom of Lelouchia. So 6 days after Lelouchia disappeared. So what got woken up?
So the other theory I saw, and I think this one is cool, but there's just literally no way to validate it. Blackbeard went back home and his island was trashed and his slaves were gone, and he was set back tremendously by this old man who's on the ground covered in ice laughing his ass off, and he just got angry. And so he just shot off like mad quakes, because it is the power that can destroy the world. So who else could disrupt the entire world except an angry Blackbeard shooting off quakes? Once again, there is no way to prove and or deny any of that, because we don't know what the fuck Blackbeard's doing, but he couldn't get Hancock, he couldn't get Law, and now he lost mad momentum the last 2 weeks in real time. Like, he couldn't get any of the fruits he wanted, his crew's been fucked up, his island is fucked up, he lost his resources in terms of the slaves, he's got no bargaining chip because now Colby's gone. And I don't think, despite, and I'm guilty of this, I think as a fan base, we think Garp is theoretically a chip, but I think Oda kind of nips that in the bud by Garp saying, yeah, don't fucking save old people, they're going to die anyway.
Yeah. So
I don't think Garp's a bargaining chip. So now he's got none of the fruits he's wanted. He's got no bargaining chip and he's got no slaves. And so I could see Blackbeard just letting it fucking rip. Because he was so
I didn't even think about Blackbeard being this epicenter of it. It was just, the epicenter is the Grand Line, or it was impossible to pinpoint, making it an anomalous, perhaps it was unrelated. I like the idea that it's Blackbeard, something in the hole. The hole's cool though, because I'm cool with the whole Ein's Lobby theory being something
used to be there, it got shut down, and that's why that water just shoots down like that.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, oh man, I just got like a crazy theory. Okay,
shoot for it.
So you know how Ein's Lobby is this giant hole in the ground except for the floating island?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what can you pinpoint any particular power that could potentially make a shield like that that would be indestructible to anything.
Say that sentence again, because I feel like I should get this and my brain just skipped the sentence.
Can you think of anybody who can make kind of a dome-like shield that is indestructible to emperor-level destructive forces slash...
Oh, Bartolomeo.
Yeah. So who's to say that Hellfire gets unleashed on whatever Heinz Lobby used to be? Bartolomeo has to save someone from it. So they put up, or Bartolomeo, whoever had that power before, puts up this shield encompassing this, maybe a town of villagers or whatever, sets up a shield, and blast goes through, destroys everything around it except this strange like landmass.
Okay.
I don't hate the Heinz Lobby theory, but I do think it is kind of intriguing.
It's just the fact they look the same, and that's where the like, and that's so the pushing to the ground is interesting. Where the reason why it was goofy, but the point the guy was trying to make was, what if that's where God Valley was? Because it would make sense that God's Valley would be close to the gates. It would be close to Mary Joie, and when they were tired of whatever led to the ultimate conflict of Zebit, Garp, Roger, etc., they were like, what if we just shot them all to the ground, because they're all fucking dangerous. And like, even though Garp was a Marine, I could 1000% Emu or whoever was in charge at the time, if for whatever reason Emu wasn't, that they were like, yeah, I'll get rid of one fucking Navy soldier if I get to get rid of the two scariest fucking things that have approached me in the past 1,000 years.
Like, yeah. No, I also go like islands, they float because of tectonic plates, but they're not just like discs that are like floating, right? Like they are, that landmass is pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured like it just went all the way down and like poked a hole in the planet's core or whatever, and that's why it's like
just running.
Yeah, like something like this isn't, it's gonna destabilize the planet if you use a power like this.
Oh yeah, no, I
because you're literally pouring ocean into the core of the planet, which I'm, you know, I don't know if that's the theory but why, but like that's kind of a theory that you can go with.
I think that weapon and other weapons like it, if that's an ancient weapon, which it's very plausible it is, I think the three ancient weapons, and we talked about this before, they are why the weather in the world is so fucked up, is that they cause irreversible damage.
Like, yeah, and that could also like equate to like the earthquake theory too, of like the worldwide sea level began to rise,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, an ancient weapon can't be used because it will break the world.
Yeah, it's like,
play
out a very violent version of Pokemon Emerald, a lot of people die because Groudon and Kyogre, left to their own desires, will flood and murder and literally shoot lava plumes and kill everyone until Rayquaza comes out the sky once every 1,000 years and goes, please stop, for about 5 seconds, then he goes back to sleep. And then the next great 10-year-old wakes up.
I saw this interesting thing. It was Luffy and Blackbeard have to team up to defeat Eam.
Nah, I'm not.
You don't think so?
Blackbeard is supposed to be irredeemable, which in One Piece is hard. We really only have, I'll say we have three irredeemable characters. We have the obvious two, which I think Blackbeard and Akainu are supposed to be irredeemable. Like, Kizaru's done like bad things, but I don't think anyone thinks of Kizaru and goes, ah, oh, what a fucking like horrible human. Like, oh, I can't wait till he loses. It's kind of like, your boy's just, he's just there. Like, I don't even know anybody who would have like if you told me like who's your most hated characters list and you put Kizaru anywhere near like your top 5 or 10, I would question. I'd be like, what the fuck did he do that made you go, oh yeah, he's a fucking asshole? But Akainu's obviously got body, so he's up there. Blackbeard is tied to the catching of bodies. And then the most irredeemable character is Charlos. And that's for being so insignificant in terms of fighting, for him to be the easily most disliked character in the series is just fantastic. Like, the Celestial Dragons as a whole, Oda has done a really good job of being like, yeah, these are the worst kind of people I could ever imagine, so I'm just going to write them as such. Obviously, he's never going to be in some grandiose fight because he's Charlos and fuckers don't do anything, but I don't think it would be weird like if Luffy and Akainu ever teamed up. It's like, nah, there's certain pairings that just can't happen. Like, yeah, I would rather
but
see
we're
Luffy
definitely Kizaru, we're but, definitely getting a Luffy Lucci team up.
Oh, that could happen. That's fine. I don't think Lucci's irredeemable. Lucci is
I didn't think Crocodile was going to be redeemable either. I don't know if it would be in a redeemable factor, you know. It would be like the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and then Blackbeard's a pirate at his core, so he goes and he tries to take the power for himself.
I don't think Crocodile is redeemable in that world. I don't think he was redeemed in that world. I think the fan base just thinks he's a cool character.
Yeah.
And the teaming up Crocodile did was still entirely selfish and central, focused on what he wanted to do. And he never, like, Crocodile just hates the Navy, which is why he acted the way he did. It wasn't like he wasn't there for Luffy. And Lucci, in a similar sense, is just there to do his job. And so the Seraphim got in the way of doing his job, and that's why he fought with Luffy. But it was by no means in his intent, nor does he give two fucks about Luffy. And if Luffy looks the wrong way for 2 seconds, he would attempt to kill him and Vegapunk without a second thought. It's like, I don't think they're necessarily like, those aren't redeeming arcs. I think those are two characters who are clearly loved by the fan base. And so to us, they're redeemed because they are really interesting and cool characters. But like,
yeah.
I mean, and this is going to be my hot take of the week. Law's a piece of shit as a person, but like, when you're maybe one of the 5 most popular characters in the story, no one gives a fuck. You saved a polar bear and you have a cool power. Like, we think he's fucking great. And it's like, you know, your boy's done some pretty awful fucking things in his life.
Name like, one.
Your boy is literally Orochimaru. if Orochimaru had Law's power.
Yeah, okay. Wait.
Nigga.
What has Law done?
That literally makes him irredeemable. Damned over 100 pirates? Damned.
Yeah, that's fine. When you're a pirate, you put your life on the line. That was established early on.
My bad, Akainu-san.
it's not like he went after like innocent people.
Oh, like the Marines? Are the Marines innocent?
No.
Because he damned some of them, too.
Yeah, like, he said like all the bad Marines.
Yeah, you know.
The Marines aren't redeemable. They're pretty shitty.
I saw
what they did to O'Hara.
I love, this was another stupid argument online, is that, so when Luffy says we can just use it as a human shield, for some reason, and I understand they're contemporaries, but these stories are so different. And this isn't even like necessarily who's better or who's not. The stories are drastically different. I think I sent you guys the meme where it's like Naruto is he is anime Joe Biden.
Okay.
Because people compared him to was like, there's obviously, so if you've never, if you're an anime only watcher and you've only watched Naruto the anime, Orochimaru was drastically different in terms of you don't really get how fucked up it was down there. Like that scene when they break down into his lab. The panel is disturbing as fuck in the manga. I mean, it is people just hung up, body parts missing, like all.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really dark fucking panel versus in the anime, you kind of just see a bunch of jars and they I mean, it looks like a Lilo and Stitch lab. Like, it's, you know, it's dark, but you don't really get it. And
yeah,
manga,
he's operating on a person, but
yeah, in the manga, Kishimoto said, "I don't give a fuck," and he drew some very descriptive dead people. And then Naruto obviously just forgave him because, you know, why not? We've been through a war. There's people stronger than you now. Your crimes ain't that bad. So give that nigga an apartment and a Costco card. Versus Luffy's, he's a fucking pirate. He doesn't care to be a good guy. Naruto, literally, his goal was to be a good guy. He wanted to be the good person. He wanted to be the president, for lack of a better translation.
Did you know that committing war crimes is fine, Justin?
As long as someone commits worse ones.
As long as your friend becomes the president, you're fine. You do whatever you want. I live through Trump era. It's fine.
Wait till 2024. It might be fine if you commit war crimes as long as you become the president.
I know. I'm just saying. All I gotta do. Oh man, my kid's doing heroin in the fucking White House. Who gives a shit?
Oh, they found coke? Oh my gosh.
Oh, coke. Oh yeah, it was coke. Yeah. Remember when the TV went, could you believe Joe Biden was doing cocaine? And I was like, Joe Biden is not doing cocaine. Joe Biden is 81. This is the part of the show where I look and go, really? We think Joe Biden was doing cocaine?
Joe can't talk. Mitch McConnell literally glitches out of reality.
Yeah, he fucking got. I had a really interesting time.
Your boy shit his pants and didn't want anyone to see it, and he was like, "Oh fuck, I shit myself in public again."
What would you rather have in front of a bunch of news cameras, a stroke or shitting yourself?
Oh, I'm gonna shit myself. Easy.
I'd probably rather have a stroke. No, because if I shit myself, that I gotta go into diapers. If I have a stroke, that just means my brain stopped working, and that's electable still.
Hey, yo. Oh,
but my constituents shit their pants. Why shouldn't I? What was it? Someone texted me that, and I was like, oh, Vicky texted me something about it. And I just went, oh, I guess the candle is melted a little too far.
The majority leader for a party has strokes on camera. The current president's son does coke in the White House. The actual standing president can't remember what he did yesterday. And there's a literal potential criminal who's going to get indicted. And he's like, I'll run from prison. This is American politics, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Remember when the worst thing that could have happened was
getting a blowjob?
Yep.
that was the groundbreaking shit. It was like, ah, fuck. This nigga getting laid in the Oval Office. It's like, yeah, why, you wouldn't it? Like, God.
Yeah, remember when... Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, remember when infidelity was impeachable? But it's going too far.
Nixon came
when,
too soon.
When you blackmail a country...
Nixon is wondering, Doc, if I was here 30 years later, the shit I could have got off.
Hey, I'm still holding out for Nixon's head in the year 3000. It's all good.
Futurama ain't never been wrong. And that's the Simpsons.
Futurama ain't never been wrong.
Oh my gosh. The
I don't know if we want to end it on that.
What do we think is going to happen next chapter?
I think boots on the ground, yo. It's time. I'm end of the chapter. I think Marines
define boots.
Marines are going to start walking on. Are going to storm the beaches of Egghead. Next chapter, at the end of the chapter. But
I totally forgot. Okay, so this is the other one. This will be quick here because I know I'm running out of time. Is Bonnie actually a child? And I know this is kind of an ass pull, but they literally called her a little girl. And I understand the person that called her a little girl was potentially hundreds of years old. But like, what if Bonnie's actual true form is that little girl that we think she transforms into?
That'd be cool.
Like, she's a literal, like, if she, what if she was like, I'm playing a lot of Scarlet. I played a lot of Scarlet and Violet the last 2 months. Like, what if she's the Poppy of the worst generation? Like, she's a literal child who got a fruit that was way above comprehension and then gets chased by Magma Men.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
I don't know exactly what age six is, probably a little too young to make the timeline actually work. But if she was like 9 or 10 versus, you know, the robust age of the rest of the worst generation, which is 17 to 47.
I thought they had a teenage, they showed a teenage Barney at Vegapunk's lab in a flashback, I thought.
I mean, you could always show her whatever age. Her age is technically whatever it's, I guess the example would be like Tsunade. Is even in flashbacks, we're essentially shown the one age Tsunade's always trying to show, but we never actually see her real age outside of like a panel going away, like her wrinkling up.
So, maybe.
So, Bonnie's age could technically be, she could be a 9-year-old forever, or she's actually a 9 or 10-year-old. Like I said, my age might be a little off here, but like clearly the youngest, a true kid of the worst generation. And she just takes on that teenager form or adult form or whatever. That might be her preference. You know, when you're a kid, everybody wants to grow up faster. Then she grows up and she's like, this shit sucks. They're trying to kill me. I'm going to go back to being a child. It just is the only thing that would be weird about it to really find out the age. I'm not going to do it right now. Is you'd have to really reread all of the chapters Kuma's involved in. And you'd have to also know his age. That would be the only thing, but like she might prefer this. And even that last panel, she's in her teenage form. I'm assuming this is, I'm gonna say, same age as Luffy. So she's 19 in this picture. But theoretically could be 8 or 9.
Maybe. If that's the case, then I don't think that changes the story that much.
I don't think it changes it outside of, I think the dynamic that's interesting is that the world government literally keeps losing these insane fruits to children. Law was what? How old when he got the fucking 9?
True. Yeah, he was young.
And now Bonnie got her fruit at a super young age. Luffy got the literal like peak fruit as a child. I understand it was proxied through Shanks, so that's a little different, but like still, like some of the strongest fruits in existence are literally going to children. And these old ass men can't figure it out. I think the only foot on the ground next week, if they are going to engage, I think it has to just be Kizaru and maybe like a vice admiral or two. I think sending anybody else there is just asking to die. Like, and I understand the lower Marines are fodder anyway, but I don't think they can be as blatant as, yeah, here's your opponents. You can fight any of the Straw Hats who, if you don't know them, the smallest bounty is the pet, who we don't consider. And if you do fight the pet can literally turn into a 100-foot-tall monster. The giant robot man. The 500 million berry bounty, who they literally call a deity. The dead ghost who's been here forever. Or you could fight the first son of the sea. Cyborg boy. The raging drunk swordsman. Or the now confirmed to the world literal deity fruit user.
Yeah.
Go have, or if they don't get you, you can fight all of the mechanical beasts that Vegapunk has designed. So if I am a below average Navy soldier, do you remember Erwin's speech in Attack on Titan? And he's like, we're going to go. And the dude's like, we're going to die, aren't we? And he's like, fuck yeah, but die with some pride. And it's like, You better have somebody give you a speech, because you're just going to die, dog. You have no chance. Like, it's like, we'll die with gusto. Who gives a fuck if a rock kills me? And they will. The rock will kill literally everybody except the soon-to-be-triggered PTSD boy, because he saw all of his friends die by rocks. Rip. That whole world is just PTSD-filled. That's what happens when
things... That's just anime in general.
Yeah, like I could see Kizaru pulling up, especially now that they know, like, Kizaru being on that call and going, oh, okay, the Straw Hats took, you know, one of the important pieces on the island. So now we know they have Vegapunk. They just took the other Stellar, or they took the I can't remember the fucking name of it. The other Vegapunks, the satellites. They took a satellite who that was supposed to be our way of knowing what's going on. And now all that's blown. And so I think Saturn's just going to give Kizaru the go ahead to be like, yeah, do it. Like I said, I don't think you can normally fight an emperor unless you have two admirals. Outside of Saturn can probably give the go ahead call and say, hey, go do it. And Kizaru, who the arc prior, well, this is now 3 years old, said, oh, Big Mom, Kaido, one island? Cool. Can I go? So your boy's got no fear. He don't give a fuck who it is. And if you want to go fight Big Mom Kaido, no offense to the Straw Hats. Y'all are great. I don't think he's scared of you. You ain't scared of those two? I don't think you're scared of the Straw Hats. In all fairness and respect. I think that's pretty much all I got from this chapter. We had some fire chapters. I know Shonen's on break. I thought this was going to be a break week anyway, because like I said, I thought Oda wanted to let Gear 5 kind of breathe in terms of the anime. If I'm wrong,
he doesn't really have the time for that, right? They're so close.
Yeah, it's like, oh, and I've said this before, but I know it still gets caught in translations. Kizaru and Sentomaru are not related.
No.
Your boy calls them uncle, but that is
a respect thing.
It's a respect thing, and the actual way it's spelled in Japanese, it's the same way. So the Yakuza do like family titles for everybody, like you're either cousin, uncle, like that's how that's their gang way of affiliating yourself. And so that's the only relation they have, which is why there's not some deep moment coming from Kizaru and Sentomaru. It's like, I'm gonna do my job. You decided you didn't want to do your job. So if you get in my way, I'm gonna shoot you with a light beam. You die, you die. I'll find another nephew. Don't trip.
He's like, I feel bad because it was your day off.
That's
Sentomaru is like, why did I call in?
He didn't call in. Your boy got called. Your boy got the call. Your boy was just enjoying himself. Yeah. And Vegapunk picked up the phone and said, hey, look, I need a quick favor. And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll do you a quick favor. And now he's literally stuck in a potential war. And it's like, this isn't a quick favor.
I feel so bad for Sentomaru. You ever get anyone who doesn't feel bad for Sentomaru has not been called into work on their day off.
Oh, it's just, I'm not answering the phone. That's what Kizaru, that's what Sentomaru needed to do. Transponder snail, throw that bitch in salt.
He does now.
With that being said, appreciate everybody as always for listening. As always, at iTalkALot980, Shadow Riley on Instagram, the Brambleberry on Instagram. Send them both very mean and harassing messages, as you do. Don't forget to also tune in for Hard Foul Radio, Group Chat Podcast, and everything else we got going on here. Don't forget to go check out the YouTube channels as well. And we will see you guys next week. Don't answer the phone if your boss calls you and you off.
No. Bad idea.
Bad idea. We out.